eczema isn't always obvious, but it's real. And so is the relief from Ebglyss. After an initial dosing phase of 16 weeks, about 4 in 10 people taking Ebglyss achieved itch relief and clear or almost clear skin. And most of those people maintained skin that's still more clear at 1 year with monthly dosing.
Ebglyss, lebrikizumab, LBKZ, a 250 milligram per 2 milliliter injection, is a prescription medicine used to treat adults and children 12 years of age and older who weigh at least 88 pounds or 40 kilograms with moderate to severe eczema, also called atopic dermatitis, that is not well controlled with prescription therapies used on the skin or topicals, or who cannot use topical therapies. Ebglyss can be used with or without topical corticosteroids. Don't use if you're allergic to Ebglyss. Allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Eye problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have new or worsening eye problems. You should not receive a live vaccine when treated with Ebglyss. Before starting Ebglyss, tell your doctor if you have a parasitic infection.
Searching for real relief? Ask your doctor about Ebglyss and visit ebglyss.lilly.com or call 1-800-LILY-RX or 1-800-545-5979.
What's up, everyone? Julie Stewart Binks here, along with former NHL player Nate Thompson.
We're doing a new podcast together. Here we go.
The name? Energy Line with Nate and JSB.
Each week we'll get together and talk about hockey, life, all topics are fair game, right?
Exactly. And you'll never know who will drop by to join us.
Julie is pretty well connected. She has text threads going that you wouldn't believe.
Listen to Energy Line with Nate and JSB on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Mel Reid, LPGA Tour winner and six-time Ladies European Tour winner.
And Kira K. Dixon, NBC Sports reporter and host.
And we've got a new podcast, Quiet Please, with Mel.
And Kira, we are bringing you spicy takes on sports and pop culture, some interviews with incredible people who have figured out how to make golf their superpower.
An iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment. You can find us on iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by Elf Beauty, founding partner of iHeart Women's Sports.
I'm Tomer Cohen, LinkedIn's Chief Product Officer. If you're just as curious as I am about the way things are built, then tune in to my podcast, Building One. I speak with some of the best product builders out there.
I've always been inspired by frustration.
It came back to my own personal pain point.
So we had to go out to farmers and convince them.
Following that curiosity is a superpower.
You have to be obsessed with the human condition.
Listen to Building One on the iHeartRadio app, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, my little buddy Kelly Bidlin, everybody, producer number 9.
Yo,
so,
yo.
So much more than a producer. Oh, want no wave today? Just went yo, yo? Okay.
Well, go. I got tennis bets, Tanner.
Oh, do you guys have a bet beforehand?
Yeah, we might. Hey, we work at a betting network. There's a lot of side bets that go on behind the scenes around here. Ooh. I was looking for action today on whether or not on a yes-no price if Gil Alexander was going to send me tennis bets because it was getting late.
Yeah.
I hadn't gotten anything from you, but we're late enough in the tournament that it's possible for you to not have any bets.
That's correct. I do have one. By the way, let me just say this again. This ain't your mom and dad's hard court season. Not the hard court season we've been accustomed to. Three dogs yesterday. All three with great CLV. All three didn't get home. It's just how it's been. It's been the year of, again, I'm a dog better,
right,
and a short favorite better. And unless it's a massive, like, beat Carlitos kind of thing, or beat Coco kind of thing, which I don't usually bet on. The numbers won't take me there. Those are the only ones that are getting home. And the standard dogs that I play that usually get home aren't. And so it's been a favorites kind of season. I do have one today, Francisco Cerundolo, plus 102 today in Miami. This is the first half or the second half, I should say, of the round of 16. I've already lost track.
It's been raining, right?
No, the rain is fine. But it's the second half of the semis. This is the quarters. This is the quarters, pardon me, of the men's side. Do I have that right? Yes, I think I do. Anyway, it's Cerundolo today, plus 102. Over Grigor Dimitrov, and that is at VSiN.com/picks. Again, for all subscribers, every host, every guest, every sport for subscribers, VSiN.com/picks. Gave that out last night, and we'll see if that's in range here this morning. I do have the Swiatek quarter, though, right? That's she's minus 1,000 to win her quarterfinal match today against Alexander Ayala, who I hated myself for not betting against Ostapenko. Didn't hate myself against her other one, against Maddie Keys. But Iga Swiatek, who I don't know why we didn't put on the graphic, but I mentioned at the time, you know, it's mathematically -115 to win her quarter is not like mathematically sound. I got it. But you bet it auto. You bet it auto. By the way, Cerundolo is +102 exactly now, so you can get the same price. Iga, if you all, you know, if you are like, why does they always bet on Iga? Okay, if you don't believe in terms of her winning a tournament, but quarters, she has played in 69. She has played in 70 tournaments since from the beginning when she won the French Open in 2020. That was the first. Let's start there. That's the first of 70 tournaments that she's played since.
Okay.
She has won 22 titles. She's gotten to the finals three other times. So that's 25 out of 70. She got to the finals. 22 of them she won. She got to additional 15 semifinals. So
she's 22-3 in finals?
Correct.
Wow.
So she's, but 15 other semifinals. So out of the 70 tournaments since that French Open title in 2020, she has won her quarter 40 of those times. That's 57%.
That's pretty good.
She's won her quarter. She has gotten to the quarterfinals seven additional times. So she's played for the quarter 67% of the time.
Jeez.
I don't know if you know that's two out of three tournaments. And that's even with this quote-unquote, you know, period of time where she's not playing as well, according to some, right? So 67% of the time she's played for the quarter, including today where she's -1,000. We have her at -150. Just a last thing on this. Since 2022, she has not won her quarter a grand total of five times. You can count them on one hand.
Wow.
So if you wonder why I just bet it auto -115 and just walk away, even though it's not mathematically sound necessarily, it's not even worth doing math.
Well, this is like the Paul Carr Kelly system play today of the tennis player I've heard of. Who is she playing today?
Alexandra Ayala, a Filipina.
No idea.
Yeah, who's been awesome. Who's best part of her career. Anyway, didn't plan on starting with tennis, but since you had a side bet, there you go. Russell Wilson signed by the Giants. Can we talk about this for a second? Because I find this fascinating now. We are,
so
by the way, we're going to get to baseball. Mark Borchardt, a base winner, has finally shown up with his season-long baseballs today. We've had Sporer on. We even had Joe Pita on. Mark Borchardt, base winner, on today on the show. We'll talk golf with Kelly Houston Open Preview. Zach Cohen on the Sweet 16. Matty Cox will join us here momentarily to talk Sweet 16 with us. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke later. But I want to start with the Russell Wilson thing because the Giants signed Russell Wilson, in case you missed it, in case you were trapped under a heavy object. This on the heels of them signing Jameis Winston, literally moments before that. Okay, not moments, but you get the idea. So now their quarterback room, you love a room, Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston, Tommy DeVito. Oh, by the way, they also have the third pick in the draft. So pushing this forward to the draft where we all like bets, and let me just say again with the NFL draft, this is no longer the ATM machine it used to be. We can say that now, right? This is no longer something we should assume we're going to win money on. It used to be a cash cow. It may not necessarily be. But the Giants, and I want to give you three options here, Kelly, and you tell me what's at play here. Option number one, the Giants with the third pick in the draft, they sign Winston and Wilson now. They figure they can't trade for Cam Ward. The cost is too prohibitive. They're not going to be able to pull off a trade to number one for Cam Ward. And they feel like the Browns are going to take Shedeur Sanders. So therefore, they decided we're going to sign two veteran quarterbacks. And then with a third pick, we'll either go with Travis Hunter or, I don't know, Jackson Dart if they thought something else. So there's two offshoots to scenario
Abdul
number
Carter.
One.
Yeah.
Or Abdul Carter. Right. So option one, again, they can't trade for one. They're convinced the Browns are taking Shedeur at number two. Option number two, they figure they can't trade for Ward. The price is too high at number one. That the Browns are not, they're not convinced the Browns are going to take Shedeur, but they don't like Shedeur themselves or any other quarterback, so they decided to do this. And then what was option three? I already forgot what option three was.
Well, option three would be...
Option three is they can't trade for Ward at one.
Right.
They don't really know what's going to happen at two, but it's immaterial to them because they've decided they want to go into the season with these two veteran quarterbacks and not worry about anything this year.
I guess three most likely to me. I think their thought process is I agree with you. I think you set it up perfectly with the Cam Ward and trading up for him. I think they've accepted that they have no chance of getting into that into that area anymore. So now I think they're playing, I'd guess, that they're playing the game of, we're just going to take best guy available at three, and no matter what the Browns do. I am not ruling out, Gil, that they could still bring in a rookie quarterback, though, at all.
Okay, so this then generates other questions, which is, okay, if you've decided to, first of all, did you tell Jameis you were going to also sign Russell Wilson?
Of course not, because they never treat my guy right, man. I'm so upset about
this. That's the first thing. Did you tell Jameis you were going to do this?
Did you tell Malik Nabers he lost his Offensive Player of the Year award?
The second thing is, if you are going to draft a quarterback, if it's Shador or Jackson Dart or whoever after, let's say Shador, you have the opportunity to do so and you do draft him and have the mentorship of the Winston Wilson administration, what kind of mentorship is that when you have one guy saying it's like, oh, you got to be unlimited? Like, that's Wilson's biggest contribution. Where Winston will be like, you got to eat W's. Like, I just don't know how that's going to work out. So, because the biggest thing of that scenario, the biggest thing of the scenario where you're just, you've just decided you can't trade for Ward, you either convince the Browns are taking Shador or you don't like Shador. That then screams the Shane thing, right? Joe Shane, their general manager. That just screams back to what we saw with, you know, the what resulted from them signing Daniel Jones, which then begat them letting Saquon go, essentially, right? Much to the owner's chagrin, much to his ultimate dismay, where he said out loud he was going to lose sleep, to now you are just, how do we win some football games? This is the general manager, you know, his thought bubble. Mm-hmm. How do we win football games where I can keep my job in the short term? Which is horrible for the organization if that is your strategy. You're nodding. You think that's it.
Well, it's yeah. One of two. Yeah. And we've been talking about this for a while now. I don't understand how, if you're the Giants, how you can enter the offseason with these two guys in place, coach and GM, when they're now making moves that make it seem obvious that is the strategy for them. And it's like we brought it up at the time. You go out and draft a rookie quarterback, it almost guarantees you more time. The other thing that might guarantee you another year, though, is winning more games than you should. Right. So it's,
which is,
I think they're putting themselves in the situation where I'm not going to rule out them drafting a quarterback, because that plan, let's call it plan A, could still exist of draft a quarterback and they're not going to fire us because they'll give us time to develop him. Or plan B, if our win total is 3.5 and we go out and win 7 wins, maybe it buys us one more year.
Right. So maybe that's what they're thinking. The other thing is, if you're a Giants fan, are you really thinking like, well, that sucks because now we can't tank for Arch Manning, because we'll win some games now, right? There's that too. Anyway, for all
but,
of that.
But you hit on, I didn't bring it back to what you said, and you said it perfectly. You are hurting the future of your franchise regardless.
For your own personal security. Which is true of many jobs and many industries.
Which I don't know if I necessarily blame on them.
By the way, I don't know the answer to any of that. It's within, something is true in all of that, and I don't know which option it is. The one thing that I'm pretty convinced of, though, is this notion that the Browns would not take a quarterback. I have always pressed against. They absolutely have to take a quarterback at two, right? So I would hope that it's the Giants thinking, well, we can't trade for Ward. The Browns are going to take Shador, and therefore we're not interested in a quarterback at three. I would hope that's what's at play. Because, by the way, the Browns' defense wasn't terrible in terms of pressure rate.
Right.
It was actually pretty good. Why would you add Abdul Carter to that?
Why do you need a quarterback?
Yeah. I hope it's that. I hope for Giants fans it's that. But as far as our bets, it, to me, now sounds like it's 1-2 quarterback, and then Giants are going elsewhere.
I'll tell you, Gil, with one signing of Russell Wilson, I went from sort of a Giants fan this year to not at all. I wanted Jameis. I wanted to watch Jameis. I wanted to watch you be terrible.
It's your guy, FSU. We'll come back. Matty Cox on the Sweet 16 on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Eczema isn't always obvious, but it's real. And so is the relief from Ebglyss.
After an initial dosing phase of 16 weeks, about 4 in 10 people taking Ebglyss achieved itch relief and clear or almost clear skin. And most of those people maintained skin that's still more clear at 1 year with monthly dosing.
Ebglyss, lebrikizumab, LBKZ, a 250 milligram per 2 milliliter injection, is a prescription medicine used to treat adults and children 12 years of age and older who weigh at least 88 pounds or 40 kilograms with moderate to severe eczema, also called atopic dermatitis, that is not well controlled with prescription therapies used on the skin or topicals, or who cannot use topical therapies. Ebglyss can be used with or without topical corticosteroids. Don't use if you're allergic to Ebglyss. Allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Eye problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have new or worsening eye problems. You should not receive a live vaccine when treated with Ebglyss. Before starting Ebglyss, tell your doctor if you have a parasitic infection.
Searching for real relief? Ask your doctor about Ebglyss and visit ebglyss.lilly.com or call 1-800-LILY-RX or 1-800-545-5979.
It's Julie Stewart Banks. I'm doing a new podcast from iHeart Podcasts and the National Hockey League, and I'm paired up with one of my favorite players, the always quotable Nate Thompson.
I wore 9 NHL sweaters, and I have story after story to share. And believe it or not, I have plenty to say, and not just about hockey.
Believe me, he does. Energy Line with Nate and JSB is the name of the podcast, and it's going to be, well, it's going to be quite the ride. We're officially line mates, Nate. We're the Energy Line.
We'll have plenty of folks join us, current players, some of my former teammates, Hall of Famers, and wait till you see some of the connections that Julie has. She has quite the Rolodex.
Okay, we'll lean into Nate's playing experience and tap into our interests away from hockey and try to do what Energy Lines are supposed to do, provide an emotional boost. How do you feel about all that, Nate?
I'm vibing, Julie. I'm ready to roll.
Listen to Energy Line with Nate and JSB on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On November 5th, 2018, at 6:33 a.m., a red Volkswagen Golf was found abandoned in a ditch out in Sleep Hole Valley. The driver's seat door was open. No traces of footsteps leaving the vehicle. No belongings were found, except for a cassette tape lodged in the player. On that tape were 10 vile... grotesque...
Oh my God!
Horrific stories that to this day have been kept restricted from the public. Until now. You feeling this too? A horror anthology podcast. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Brendan Patrick Hughes, host of Divine Intervention. This is a story about radical nuns in combat boots and wild-haired priests trading blows with J. Edgar Hoover in a hell-bent effort to sabotage a war.
J. Edgar Hoover was furious. Somebody violated the FBI, and he wanted to bring the Catholic left to its knees.
The FBI went around to all their neighbors and said to them, "Do you think these people are good Americans?"
It's got heists, tragedy, a trial of the century, and the goddamnedest love story you've ever heard.
I picked up the phone, and my thought was, this is the most important phone call I'll ever make in my life.
I couldn't believe it. I mean, Brendan, it was divine intervention.
Listen to Divine Intervention on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game live from Circa. If you want to bet smarter, start with smarter insights. Right now, you can check out Sweet 16 game previews, Greg Peterson's best bets in college basketball, and Wes Reynolds' Houston Open preview. Later today, you can check out Zach Cohen's best bets in the NBA, Jonathan Davis's best bets in the NHL, and Josh Applebaum's college basketball sharp report. To get access to all the articles and betting guides on VSiN.com, right now, you can sign up for as little as $9.99. Just head to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up today. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate it. People love, where as soon as you transition to football in any sense, right? Even for 5 minutes, people are like, oh, football.
Mm-hmm.
Judd O'Connor. Did we see what happened last year? The Giants have no idea what's going on ever. I can't argue it. That's kind of my point earlier. James Sott, thanks again, Gilly Kelly, for taking some time to talk with us last week. Back to reality here, but let's go, Iga. He's on EGA as well.
All right.
Yes, great meeting James and his crew.
Mm-hmm.
It was great meeting Donnie earlier this week, who gave me just a really nice gift. Yesterday, John stopped by, who was really nice. He was here for the pizza convention.
Great voice. We need to hire him.
He should be on radio. Yeah, we should have told that to him. He should probably be on radio.
Great voice. Yeah, he's here for the pizza convention, which I've now been at. Chance Copperpot DM'd me about it yesterday.
Pizza convention.
It really sounds like we're missing out, Gil.
Shrek McPhee, who has no longer decided to trip us up with other kind of monikers.
Thank you.
Thank you, Shrek. Ever since I met his parents, he's kind of piped it down. I met your parents, Shrek.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, at the South Point. Genty, 25-1 to be drafted by New England, he says. Mini Derrick Henry that Vrabel had in Tennessee helps a young quarterback, especially after the Diggs signing. All that money spent on defense, it cannot be a defensive player unless Carter falls to 4. NCI95 Gambler, what are your thoughts on my Pat signing Stephon Diggs? I don't like it one bit, and it's not because of the ACL. I feel like it's like Devontae going to the Raiders, and now that to Vrabel is a run-first coach. Yeah, I didn't really move the needle for me either.
I mean,
NCI95, frankly.
Two quick thoughts. I think on paper, it just looks like an awful signing to me. Like, I don't understand it. I don't think it's the piece. I think you're spending too much on a guy that's coming off an injury that we don't really know where he's at 31 years old. But as you bring up so well so many times, you've got a quarterback that you're trusting on a rookie deal. You got money to burn. Go out and spend it if it helps develop.
Go up and spend it. That's how you win. Stringfellow Hawk, our buddy who we met also, he says, don't know why the Giants signed Winston, nor does it matter if he's playing. The season is gone in the crapper. Draft the best available player at 3 and a quarterback in round 3 or later. Stringfellow, I would go with that strategy as well if I were there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hope that that's what they're thinking. D-Gen Southern Gent. Gil, you mentioned Arch Manning possibly getting drafted next year. Are we sure that he's not going to stay in college for 3 to 4 years and continue to build his brand on his own before the NFL has the chance to conform him to their own? You're 100% right, DJ. I'm not sure. He could end up being... Look, a lot of these guys might be like, this is really comfortable. There's girls here. I'm making money. I don't have the pressure of the league. Sure, I'll stick around.
I'm interested to see with some of that stuff because the... I'll get asked about some of the college basketball guys at the NBA, and I'm like, I understand that there's money, but at the NBA, you want to get into the NBA so you get on the clock as soon as possible with the contract stuff, so you can reach a supermax with your team as soon as possible. So,
well, he might be good enough where that's the proper way, right? Go to the league, right? Go to the NFL. But there's a whole bunch underneath a guy of that level who might just be like, wow, this UCLA campus, let's just choose one. It's kind of nice here.
Mm-hmm.
The weather's kind of nice, and I'm making money. Why bother? Let's talk some college hoops. Sweet 16 is upon us tomorrow night. A special numbers game investigation reveals that it begins tomorrow night with 4 games, then 4 more on Friday, of course. We're going to hang out with Montesano and Carl Sack watching Sweet 16. Looking forward to that. Matty Cox joins us from the Weavers, 3-man weave. Back at his, he was in Vegas last week. He didn't say hello, which, you know, we're okay with. Because, they're big time on us. But he's back. Where are you? Mother-in-laws? Is that what you are today?
Yep. Yeah, down in the Naples community here in Florida. So working coast to coast this week, all over the place.
In Florida, he's
there. Wait, Matt, real quick. What is the casino game of choice for the 3-man Weavers?
Blackjack, I guess, but certainly don't consider ourselves card counters or have any sort of edge. I will say with the youngsters who are part of our group this year, my brother's bachelor party, which turned out splendidly, by the way, craps was their game.
Okay.
Basically writing random guy, hot streak, befriending that guy, that friendship manifests into lifelong friendships, those types of things. So certainly not plus EV type players with us today, but it was a fun experience.
No, but that's what casinos gambling about. That's why it kills me inside a little bit, Gil, when I see all the electronic machines now post COVID, where it's like, no, you take away the fun of a craps table where that stuff happens.
Where you get to emote.
Yeah,
that's
and you
right.
make friends.
All right, let's do this night by night. Let's start with, we'll do it chronologically. Let's start with tomorrow night, 4 games, 2 in the East, 2 in the West. Arizona, let's start with the East. Arizona Duke and BYU Alabama. These aren't actually chronologically tomorrow night. The first game is BYU Alabama in terms of a tip. Alabama favored by 5.5. The total now 175.5. Let's start with that game. Any thoughts?
I think there's been money coming on Bama early. I think we see even more money toward closer to tip here. I think this closes 6. I got some -5 at Bama. I think this is my strongest bet of the Sweet 16 round. I mean, BYU is really good. I think you can't discount how well they played. I think Kevin Young's a terrific coach. They have a ton of depth. all types of versatile pieces. That's what makes them so unique, is that they have a lot of individual, unique, unorthodox matchups with Demon as sort of that point forward. They got some bullies up front. They got some shooters. And the way they play is just a little bit different, with Kevin Young kind of bringing an NBA type of offense there. But Bam is going to be ready for all of them. It's a great coach, great staff there. I think their talent plays up in this game. The key handicap here is BYU, I think, was somewhat fortunate to play in altitude those first two games, right? I think that was it's rare to see an opening pod be at altitude, right? At Denver, they play all year at home. It's sort of one of the reasons a lot of team people take this, the Mountain West or the WCC team seriously. So BYU kind of rode that wave of momentum to get past that first pod. I think they kind of come back down to earth figuratively with the drop in altitude against Bama here. I think the tide roll.
What about a drop in elevation, though, in addition to the drop in altitude? No, this is a question for the listeners. Duke later in that same region. Duke, a 9-point favorite over Arizona. Do they run out another opponent here, or does Arizona have a puncher's chance?
I do think so. I'm not going to lay it, though, because I think the fact that they played once this year, Tommy Lloyd, who I know you're no fan of, the fact that they have seen this prep before does make me feel like it's going to be harder for Duke to blow them out again. That's just a dumb anecdotal. It's hard to blow a team out twice, but I think in this matchup, in this spot, it might be harder than usual for Duke to extend. That said, I think if you're going to bet this game, why not bet Duke? I think they've just completely... on both sides of the ball, I think John Shire as a schematic coach has actually been very impressive. He's really attacked some good mismatches the first two rounds. I think he can maybe do that again in the rematch. But at -9, I don't think there's a ton of value there.
Okay.
So I passed.
What about the two West regional games tomorrow? We'll take them as a pair. Texas Tech, 5.5-point favorites against the only double-digit seed still alive, John Calipari's Arkansas squad. Yep. And then Maryland, Florida. Florida's favored by 6. I'm hearing a lot of love for Maryland. And I as a Maryland sort of guy, I was really? A lot of friends who went to Maryland. I just don't get that.
Well, I'm curious what your take is. I think Florida's the bet here. I haven't officially played it yet. I think there might be some Maryland buyback, but I'm hoping it doesn't go to 7. I think the Florida bigs, the army of bigs they have is a good kryptonite to the Crab Fives dynamic duo up front in recent Queen. Thank you. But the Florida, the depth they have in the perimeter as well, I think they come at you in waves of bodies. I'm not sure the Terps can continue to burn the nets at the rate they have. I thought the Ram Colorado State scout was great against Maryland. You make them shoot a ton of threes. They made a ton of threes, and they still had to have that crazy buzz beater just to get by the Rams. The depth has been a concern that Willard cited all season. If it doesn't show up in this game, I think it does show up in the second leg if they are able to get by Florida. I still think Florida overwhelms. I think Florida had their toughest test of the tournament until next game with that tough Hurley scout. I think they roll here. Again, 6 is no bargain. I'm hoping it comes back down to 5 with some of that interest skill you mentioned. It seems like is out there. It might be coming. But I will probably lay Florida at 6 if it doesn't move close to post.
I think I am, too. It's just, for me, it's just a depth thing with Maryland, too. Like, at some point, your lack of depth has to matter. And Florida...
Right. It's not the Crab 10. It's the Crab 5.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Friday, we'll just give you the quartet of games. You tell me what you like best in chronological order. In the again, these are in the South and the Midwest. But in chronological order, it's Mississippi-Michigan State, the Spartans favored by 3.5. Kentucky-Tennessee, the Vols favored by 4.5. Then it is Michigan-Auburn. Auburn up to 9-point favorite now. And then Purdue-Houston with the Cougars favored by 8. What do you like best?
I got one bet in this this quadrant here, or this quartet, as you said. I like Michigan. You kind of alluded to it. I think this spread's too big. The whole narrative is how lucky Michigan is and how much of a fraud they are because they've been winning close games. But a lot of those games, they are favored by big numbers, right? I think this is actually a good spot where they're playing up as a dog, and I think they can keep it really close. Dusty May is a terrific coach. I think the size they have up front with Wolf and Golden, I'm not saying they're going to outplay Broom and Cardwell, but I think you can at least call that close to a wash. And the way Trey Donaldson's playing, stud point guard, a little revenge on his mind, playing his old team, I think there's a lot to like here with the Wolverines going against the big bad Auburn Tigers. So I will take 9 if that's just a big number to me.
Yeah, I'm on Michigan and I got the worst of it. I bet it at 7.5. I was like, this is too much. Now it's
I don't get the Auburn money. I don't. I really don't.
Yeah.
SEC steam probably is what it is.
Yeah. They're doing well so far, that's for sure. 7 SEC teams, a record in the Sweet 16 as they try to advance it to record numbers moving forward to the Elite Eight and Final Four as well. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you, fellas.
Matty Cox from 3-Man Weave at 3MW_CBB, by the way.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Are you ready to take your sports betting to the next level? The Sharp Plays at sharpplays.com is your secret weapon. Since 2011, they've been building trusted relationships with major sports books and sports insiders worldwide. They provide daily updates on what top pro sports bettors and betting groups are wagering on, so you're always ahead of the game. That's not all, though. They just launched a cutting-edge AI betting analyst that provides even more selections and reports, giving you the edge you need to win. And the best part is you can check out the Sharp Plays free content anytime. Get real-time betting action reports, alerts, and more through email and X directly from the pros, plus explore all their records, including detailed online logs, right on the website at sharpplays.com. With the Sharp Plays, you're joining a team that's never had a losing year. What do you have to lose? Start today. Get access to the best betting insights at sharpplays.com. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. This gentleman we always have on during the Major League Baseball season. He and I have known each other for, I don't know, what is it going on, 14 years, 15 years now? We met in like a betting forum and we just sort of like game recognized game. We sort of were like simpatico. We understood how we looked at baseball handicapping wise. Fast friends ever since. We used to hang out at spring training, making up metrics because we're dorks.
Making up metrics.
Because we're total dorks. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Mark Borchard at BaseWinner on Twitter, basewinner.com.
Got my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
They can also spit some rhymes from well, time
I,
to
and
time.
I actually waited for that, so I didn't even step over myself, so that's wonderful. I'm happy to be on your show, Gil. It's really great to talk to both of you guys. And you're right. We go back, I think it's 17 years, Gil.
Oh, my God.
Long time.
Oh, my God.
The game, to me, the handicapping game, Gil, has changed significantly. And I think that maybe you would agree with me. Back then, you could do XFIP and maybe a little bit of base runs and run it in a Davenport formula. And, you'd be able to beat the market. And it's just really, I think, gotten a little bit more difficult to do that because everybody, the market's using those same numbers. And but at the same time, Gil, the markets have really expanded. I mean, I remember back, I'm hearkening back to when I met you. You know, maybe you had the three side. You had the run line, you had the money line, and then you had the total, but you didn't have any props. You didn't have any split bets, five innings. You can go three innings.
You didn't have five innings. People forget that. You didn't have five innings even as recently as like 6-7 years ago. They weren't widespread, you know? It just sort of in the VSiN era have they sort of come to pass. It is incredible, right? I mean, now it's vast, the menu of stuff to bet on.
It's really amazing, and I think challenging to me with pretty much half my adult life doing this, Gil. You got to really kind of pick your spots, and there's so many different ways to go, and there's so much depth you can get into. And really, if you look at if you want to talk about depth and just Major League Baseball in general, you look at an organization, well, any organization in baseball, particularly the Diamondbacks, who I'm very high on this year, but they have a GM. He's an MIT PhD, and then they have four or five guys working under them in their analytics department. So I think if that doesn't show you, with 30 teams doing the same thing, how vast and how perplexing, challenging, fun for me, but definitely the former that I just said, baseball data is, then I don't know what does, Gil.
Okay, well let's see how many of these season longs I can coax out of you, because I understand you have clients, they're paying for your information as well. So we're not going to get everything from you, but I just want to get a couple things. You alluded to the Diamondbacks. You are high on them. We had somebody else on the show. Was it Joe Pita, who's very high on the Diamondbacks as well? As I recall,
we'll have to check on that.
Yeah,
one.
I think it was.
You're
Joe.
Right. Someone was though.
I think it was Joe. Tell us how you are going to bet your bullishness on the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Well, you can basically bet it many different ways, but I have them for best record in baseball at 25-1. I've got them for number one seed in National League at 16-1. Another thing I'm doing is Torrey Lovello, Manager of the Year, at 11-1. And then pitcher with most wins, close to my heart, Corbin Burns. He elected to stay here in Phoenix and take a little bit less money. I think that's good, and I think that the stuff is best in baseball, or maybe second or third best in baseball. I think at 16-1, Burns with the most wins is a good opportunity, Gil.
Wow. So number one seed. What was your number on that?
I'm getting 16 to 1, and I haven't run it today, but I think I ran it a few days ago, a couple days ago, actually, for the seed.
The reason I seize on that, obviously, is because part and parcel with that is that would mean that they would win the division, right, and beat the Dodgers. So that's pretty incredible. Also, the fact that you would think, you know, that it's worth a bet on that. Like, you think whatever number you got, you said 16 to 1, that represents good value.
Yeah, and so, like, before people, like throw stones at me, I guess. Yeah. I mean, I don't know, because the Dodgers are getting so much love in the betting market, and, like, this guy actually have the Diamondbacks projected for more wins than the Dodgers, although I do like the Dodgers as well. But the way that I'm projecting things within my simulations and modeling for the futures market is I'm not looking at, like, these made-up stats. I'm looking at, for the bullpen, last 300 plate appearances for walk percentage, last 150 plate appearances for strikeout percentage and ground ball percentage. And then I evaluate, I come up with a base winner ERA based on those numbers. So I'm not like totally, you know, making stuff up. And then,
And then
for the offense, I'm looking at last 500 plate appearances, and I'm using base runs created based on an OPS adjusted for the park factor. So they're not these outlandish numbers, and then I run them in a 5,000 simulation, and that's what I'm getting, Gil. So
yeah, no, I appreciate you saying that, because for new listeners who are not familiar with you, there is no one more granular and relevant granular stuff than Mark is with Major League Baseball. So these are not just, again, as he put it, he's not just pulling these out of you know where. This is with simulation and then mathematically what represents value. So 16 to 1 Diamondbacks, because intuitively I would think 16 to 1 is not long enough, but you're telling me otherwise, and I believe you on that. So 16 to 1 for best record for the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Well, check this out. Talking about the NL West, Gil, and I run this. The Dodgers, I understand, have two wins, but it goes into the simulations, and based on the component factors that go into the stuff, I've got the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers with the exact same thing. I've never seen this. 49.3% to win that division would give you plus 103 odds from a true odds standpoint, Gil. So definitely, there's value in the division plays, and really. Yeah. Everything you can think of on the Diamondbacks, Gil.
But not World Series, not pennant, because you don't want to deal with the vagaries of the postseason.
Oh, no. I have some plays on them. I just have a lot of futures this year, Gil. So I just, as far as getting to all of them, it's probably not possible in a segment of and talk about them, you know, cohesively in a even a 15-30 minute segment. But yeah, and I simulate the playoffs. I just because I think a better play is to either make the playoffs or to win in the division.
Right.
I think probably, Gil, the to make the playoffs for me would be, if you had to make one bet on the futures for this season, the Diamondbacks to make the playoffs, I think, would be your bet, Gil.
Okay. So if you had to distill it to one, that's the way you would go on that. Before we get to the break, because I want to get to individual stuff on the other side, give me one more sort of what might be an outlying base winner projection on a team, like a team that that most people don't have on their radar that you think might be a postseason team, or perhaps the opposite, a team that most people think is a done deal that they'll be in the playoffs that you are not nearly as high on and think could miss.
Well, I'm certainly bullish on these Twins, Gil, and I just want to pull up the projections that I have for them from a win standpoint, and I don't have it sorted correctly, but I will find them. There we go. I've got them with 94 roughly wins.
Wow.
And in the market they're at 83 wins. So there's definitely some value there. Some of the fun plays that I made in this division was I did a Minnesota first to Cleveland second division exacta. And I have that at plus 760, getting the odds and significant value there based on the projections.
A Minnesota Cleveland exacta for those of us who have the under on Cleveland season win total, that's not music to my ears. What do you have projected as the Guardians win total?
Well, I had this thing all sorted, Gil, and now I've got to. Look at it. No. It's all good. It's just like I don't even have it sorted by a team like alphabetically or whatever. I've got Cleveland at 84.4 wins, so it's pretty close to market. A little bit over. Yeah.
Okay. So we have Adam Burke and Mark Borchard, base winner, on one side of Cleveland. Cleveland season win total. We have me and Joe Pito on the other. So we have different opinions of that. Okay, I like that. So again, the Twins Guardians exacta, 1-2 exact in the American League Central. By the way, these are widely available. I love the books that put these out at over 7-1, plus 760, I believe you said on that.
Great value. Yeah.
Okay, and he's very bullish on the Diamondbacks. We'll get back to Mark on the other side. Some season long individual stuff, home runs included. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Eczema isn't always obvious, but it's real. And so is the relief from Ebglyss. After an initial dosing phase of 16 weeks, about 4 in 10 people taking Ebglyss achieved itch relief and clear or almost clear skin. And most of those people maintained skin that's still more clear at 1 year with monthly dosing.
Ebglyss, lebrikizumab, LBKZ, a 250 mg/2 mL injection, is a prescription medicine used to treat adults and children 12 years of age and older who weigh at least 88 pounds or 40 kilograms with moderate to severe eczema, also called atopic dermatitis, that is not well controlled with prescription therapies used on the skin or topicals, or who cannot use topical therapies. Ebglyss can be used with or without topical corticosteroids. Don't use if you're allergic to Ebglyss. Allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Eye problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have new or worsening eye problems. You should not receive a live vaccine when treated with Ebglyss. Before starting Ebglyss, tell your doctor if you have a parasitic infection.
Searching for real relief? Ask your doctor about Ebglyss and visit ebglyss.lilly.com or call 1-800-LILY-RX or 1-800-545-5979.
It's Julie Stewart Banks. I'm doing a new podcast from iHeart Podcasts and the National Hockey League, and I'm paired up with one of my favorite players, the always quotable Nate Thompson.
I wore 9 NHL sweaters, and I have story after story to share. And believe it or not, I have plenty to say, and not just about hockey.
Believe me, he does. Energy Line with Nate and JSB is the name of the podcast, and it's going to be, well, it's going to be quite the ride. We're officially line mates, Nate. We're the Energy Line.
We'll have plenty of folks join us, current players, some of my former teammates, Hall of Famers, and wait till you see some of the connections that Julie has. She has quite the Rolodex.
Okay, we'll lean into Nate's playing experience and tap into our interests away from hockey and try to do what Energy Lines are supposed to do, provide an emotional boost. How do you feel about all that, Nate?
I'm vibing, Julie. I'm ready to roll.
Listen to Energy Line with Nate and JSB on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On November 5th, 2018, at 6:33 a.m., a red Volkswagen Golf was found abandoned in a ditch out in Sleep Hole Valley. The driver's seat door was open. No traces of footsteps leaving the vehicle. No belongings were found, except for a cassette tape lodged in the player. On that tape were 10 vile... grotesque...
Oh my God!
Horrific stories that to this day have been kept restricted from the public. Until now. You feeling this too? A horror anthology podcast. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We ready to fight? I'm ready to fight.
This
is fighting words. Okay. I'll put the hammer back.
Hi, I'm George M. Johnson, a best-selling author with the second most banned book in America. Now more than ever, we need to use our voices to fight back. And that's what we are doing on Fighting Words. We're not going to let anyone silence us.
That's the reason why they're banning books like yours, George. That's the reason why they're trying to stop the teaching of Black history, queer history, any history that challenges the whitewashed norm.
Or put us in a box.
Black people have never, ever depended on the so-called mainstream to support us. That's why we are great. We are the greatest culture makers in world history.
Listen to Fighting Words on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Ready to get in on the action? First Bet has you covered. Sign up now to access exclusive promotions and bet on hundreds of thrilling horse races every day right from your phone or computer. Visit firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. And use promo code VSiN200 to score a 20% rebate on all your wagers for the first 60 days, up to $200. Don't miss out. Start betting today at firstbet.com. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin alongside. Before we get back to Mark Borchard, Base Winner, at Base Winner, basewinner.com, for those interested in all his baseball season longs and his daily baseball plays. That's obviously what he does here starting tomorrow. And I'm sure he's got his day one plays. We'll see if we can coax one of them out from him. But here's what I have. Here's the three bets I've made so far. And again, I say so far because there's still time. The bottom there are the aforementioned Guardians under 82.5 wins. Did a whole dissertation on that. And then the monthly and the race to 10. We'll just do these from the bottom up. Twins most wins March, April, 15-1. Obviously, the Dodgers with a 2-win head start now on that. We were hoping for the split in Tokyo, but instead the Dodgers had to go win both of them. And then the race to 10 regular season wins, where that's even a bigger deal. The Mets at 17-1 are the plays that I made so far in baseball. We bring back Mark Borchard, Base Winner. Mark, opening day, really domestic opening day, right? We had the two games in Tokyo, but for real opening day tomorrow. How many plays do you have typically on an opening day?
That's a good question. I usually on a daily basis, definitely will have the Base Winner parlay. That's an everyday occurrence. even if I don't have two plays, I'll find one and make the Base Winner parlay. But probably about 5 to 6, Gil.
5 to 6. Wow. Steve Fezzik's favorite thing in the world. He goes, you know, this Mark Borchard, he's so intelligent. Clearly, he's doing everything by the book, and he's a grand. And then he throws out a parlay at the end. It really drives him crazy. It goes against
him. Well, I can certainly make a case for why play parlays. And yeah. In fact, I will. You know, Gil, one of the things I'm going to be able to post articles and analysis on my site this year, which I'm really excited to do. And that's one of the things I've already written, why play the parlay. And that'll come up here in the next few weeks, Gil. So I will refute that because it's been very, very good for me, Gil.
Give us one that you love tomorrow, a game.
Well, I'm tell you what, I'm going to give you a Base Winner parlay. I'm going to do it especially for you.
Oh, thank you so much. We should sponsor this. We should get a sponsor for this. Brought to you by...
I guess if it was... No, I'm going to put the Giants in the parlay, Gil.
Hey, thank you so much.
I guess if it was specially for you, I would do... I'll do Baltimore for the Gil Alexander Baltimore-San Francisco parlay.
That's as me as it gets right there. Wow.
And they all, I'm not just doing this because of you. They actually have value according to the model and the components and everything that I do, Gil.
All right. So tomorrow again, opening day, Major League Baseball. What did you call it off air? What did you call opening day in baseball? What was your term?
New Year's Day.
New Year's Day for baseball. Giants.
The countdown is right now inside of 24. No, not quite inside of 24 hours. There's I think maybe 28 hours because there's some. Early baseball tomorrow.
Okay. By the way, both of those games that you refer to are basically coin flips. Giants Reds is -105 on each side, and then the Birds, the Orioles, they are -108 favorites against the Jays tomorrow.
I got +264 on that parlay.
+264.
Okay. Well, and Gil, I think you'll be proud of me because I spared going in because Zach Eflin's starting for the Orioles, and I didn't relate it. Now I'm doing it. Didn't relate him to Zach Efron.
I know. We were hoping you would. We can expect those from you in the future. I know. All right, let's get to season long individuals because I want to get some of these. Let's start with home runs. You have a bet in this market.
Well, yeah, this was a really fun market for me to get into because for me, Gil, I think it's if Judge stays healthy, I don't think anybody's gonna get him. And so I was able to, so, and that's a big question. So if he gets healthy and I was able to run simulations on this and say, well, Judge is not going to be healthy in 25% of these simulations. And so what did it come up with? He's still winning 60% of the simulations, Gil, even with that,
Interesting.
That adjustment there. And really, if you look at it, and this is kind of the number that I use for home runs projecting this market, is home runs per plate appearance. And I'll just give you the last 3 years. And Judge's 8.4% of his plate appearances result in a home run. And then the next best guy is Shohei. And Ohtani's 6.6% home runs in his plate appearances. And then it goes to Matt Olson, who's 5.5%, Gil.
Aaron Judge with the second best home run per plate appearance in the history of baseball. Is that true? Am I reading that right? McGuire 1, Judge and George Herman Babe Ruth 2, followed by Shohei Ohtani.
Well, yeah, no, I'm not familiar with I'm not familiar with those two guys, but I would believe it. I can tell you 8.4% is really high. I mean, it's, you know, I think the average is 3%, so he's 5% better than average from home runs per plate appearance. But one of the things I do, and I think that is unique to my handicapping style, and I want to emphasize that as somebody who's been in the game for so long. You know, guys, take this and make it your own style. This is the funnest part about handicapping. But having said that, what I do for these markets is I do a base winner group of five. And I was able to get on this market, I was able to get, if you group them and you bet them according to plan, I was able to get plus 219 for these five players. And Aaron Judge, of course, leads it. But I was also able to get Matt Olson, Mike Trout, Tyler O'Neill, and Ketel Marte in that group to get those plus 219 odds, Gil.
Okay, repeat that again for folks. Say that again.
Okay, so the five players in my group betting, and you have to split it up. I'll put this out for everybody. I'll send this out to everybody that follows me. So Judge, Olson, Trout, O'Neill, and Ketel Marte in this group.
Okay. And what was your price on? Oh, so you didn't bet Judge individually?
No, I put, so this is kind of how I did it. So we'll do it from a unit size. So five units. So 3.45 units on Judge, 0.79 on Olson, 0.31 on Trout, 0.28 on O'Neill, and 0.15 on Marte. And if you do that, it comes out to odds of plus 219 for that group.
Gotcha. Okay. Let's go to Cy Young. What did you come up with here?
Well, let's start with the National League. And basically, this is a methodology, just really quickly. It's the base winner 150 rank versus market odds. And so the National League, I have Skeens, Glasnow. I'll give you the odds, too, with it. Skeens plus 300, Glasnow plus 1,700. Yamo be there at plus 2,500. Sonny G, and you guys know that I rapped about Sonny, can't you see the pitches you throw hypnotize teams? And I just love your strikeout rate. I guess I'm going to bet on you and going to get paid. Boom. Okay, so anyway, he's at 30-1, and then Corbin Burns at 12-1. And so you get all those guys, and you Dutch it a certain way, and I put that out for everybody that supports me. The group odds are plus 121, Gil.
Okay. Could you define Yamo be there for everybody, just in case everybody's wondering?
That's Yamamoto from the Dodgers. Okay. Yes, yeah.
I just thought I'd throw that out there because I was so distracted by what was happening during that.
Well, hopefully we can count on him. We can count on him, brother.
Yes.
You know?
I see what you're doing. All right. I don't know.
I've heard it before, Gil, and I just lost it
me
again.
Me too. American League Cy Young. What did you do there?
Okay. This is Garrett Crochet plus 450. Framber Valdez 17-1, Jacob DeGrom 14-1,
I've heard of that.
Cole
guy.
Ragans 10-1, and you say Kikuchi 80-1, and they do play that song. At least they have. I don't know if the Angels are going to do it. Every time he strikes out a batter, they play "You Say," and it's annoying when you're listening to it on the radio, Gil.
Oh, they go with the Lisa Loeb? Is that her song? You Say.
I knew you would know that one.
Is that Lisa Loeb?
I knew you would know that one.
Know.
Yep.
You know I don't know.
I might be wrong.
No, he's right.
That.
He's right. I think.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yep.
We got nothing in common. That one.
I thought you were going to go. You Say Kikuchi. I say, you know that one. Okay. Wow. That's that was great. All right. So we have all of those bets, and you have made those. again with unit sizing, or you could not flats, right?
They're adjusted based on the odds, so you're going to get the same return. You know, no matter if you hit one of those five, you'll get the same return no matter which one of those five hit skill.
All right, Mark, we'll have you on weekly if you're willing. I know you have a day where you can allot to us because you're busy otherwise. This is your time of year, man.
For sure. We'll definitely fill it in. I love talking to you guys. I love the show. I love being a listener. A listener is probably a better word of the show. Great stuff. Great guests. And I'm proud to be part of one of your guests, right?
Listen,
I guess.
We really enjoy baseball / pop culture / music references. We enjoy that from you as well.
Gotta have fun with this stuff. Absolutely. Work hard, have fun. That's a good philosophy.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. Base Winner, everybody, at BaseWinner, BaseWinner.com. We'll talk some golf, Houston Open, on the other side, right here on A Numbers Game at Feast.
Eczema isn't always obvious, but it's real. And so is the relief from Ebglyss. After an initial dosing phase of 16 weeks, about 4 in 10 people taking Ebglyss achieved itch relief and clear or almost clear skin. And most of those people maintained skin that's still more clear at 1 year with monthly dosing.
Ebglyss, lebrikizumab, LBKZ, a 250 mg/2 mL injection, is a prescription medicine used to treat adults and children 12 years of age and older who weigh at least 88 pounds or 40 kilograms with moderate to severe eczema, also called atopic dermatitis, that is not well controlled with prescription therapies used on the skin or topicals, or who cannot use topical therapies. Ebglyss can be used with or without topical corticosteroids. Don't use if you're allergic to Ebglyss. Allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Eye problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have new or worsening eye problems. You should not receive a live vaccine when treated with Ebglyss. Before starting Ebglyss, tell your doctor if you have a parasitic infection.
Searching for real relief? Ask your doctor about Ebglyss and visit ebglyss.lilly.com or call 1-800-LILY-RX or 1-800-545-5979.
This is Nikki Glaser from the Nikki Glaser Podcast. Have you guys seen this new commercial from Stand Up to All Hate? It's basically Snoop Dogg and Tom Brady going back and forth with reasons that they hate each other. But then when you really listen to them, the reasons for the hate are just so stupid. I don't know. This commercial really got me. It's a strong reminder that hate in our country continues to be out of control. So join us at iHeart in standing up to it. If you see hate, speak up, call it out. Your voice is a powerful tool in this fight. You can learn more by following at What's Up With Hate.
What's up, everyone? Julie Stewart Binks here, along with former NHL player Nate Thompson.
We're doing a new podcast together. Here we go.
The name? Energy Line with Nate and JSB.
Each week, we'll get together and talk about hockey, life, all topics are fair game, right?
Exactly. And you'll never know who will drop by to join us.
Julie is pretty well connected. She has text threads going that you wouldn't believe.
Listen to Energy Line with Nate and JSB on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Mel Reed, LPGA Tour winner and 6-time Ladies European Tour winner.
And Kira K. Dixon, NBC Sports reporter and host.
And we've got a new podcast, Quiet Please, with Mel
and Kira. We are bringing you spicy takes on sports and pop culture, some interviews with incredible people who have figured out how to make golf their superpower.
An iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment. You can find us on iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by Elf Beauty, founding partner of iHeart Women's Sports.